Hope it did for you as well. And it'll make the difference. We're in Missions Month, and it'll make the difference for everyone that puts their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Amen. I know we've been focused on it throughout the week, and the message this morning will not be geared necessarily to missions, although it will be one that preaches Jesus. Amen. But I want to kind of speak to maybe our veterans, those of you that have not been veterans. I want to preach a message that maybe they'll understand a little bit this morning, and kind of talk about a battle in the Bible. Amen. Some fighting that went on. And so there's a lot of battles that happened in the Bible. And by the way, I'll just let you know that there's a spiritual battle that rages today. Amen. And we need to be about our Father's business. As the Bible says, we need to be about missions. That's a spiritual battle around the world. I'll just say this, that one of the ways that we as a church are involved in the spiritual battle around the world is giving to missions. That goal that we're trying to hit right now is a big one, and we're trying to see it filled up this year, and we're doing that by giving through Faith Promise. Now, if you are new to us and you didn't make a faith promise, that doesn't mean that you can't give to this year and help us meet that goal. There are some folks that made a promise, and they have gone to heaven this year, and they won't be able to meet their goal from their side of it, so don't feel bad if you're jumping in this year. Jump in. Be a part with us. Help us reach the goal as we try to do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. But this card that's in the pew is one for you to take and pray about next year. And I encourage you to talk with yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Get involved in the cause of missions, even if it's small. I want my children to every week be looking for 10 cents in the couch cushions, if that's what it is that they can give, and give to the cause of missions. It will teach them that it's a great cause and it's worthy of thinking about on a weekly basis. Joshua chapter number 10 this morning will be the passage of scripture that we preach out of, and the message title for the tape room will be Commandeering the Son. Commandeering the Son. For many of us, we don't use the word commandeering. That is a military term. Our police and some officials that have authority will also use that, but our military often use that, especially during wartime. The definition of the word commandeering is simply this: to officially take possession of something, especially for the military. If you are in need, many of our young men and boys that were around the world in World War II didn't always have what they needed to make things go, to cross rivers and to do those things. And their ingenuity, sometimes they took tractors, they took metal from places, and they built what they needed so that they could win a war. And for us, again, we'll see here in the passage of scripture that we don't, as men and women, we do not have power over the natural world, but our God does. And we'll see Joshua, and something that will probably be, if you've never seen it in the scripture before or even heard tell of it, it may be unbelievable, but everything that is written in the scripture and this passage is literal. It's not figurative. It literally happened on a battlefield one day, and God said it was true. And if you believe your Bible to be 100% true, you can't cut this part out and throw it away. You got to believe that God did this. You say, I don't see the science behind it. Okay, so you got science for everything that goes on in the world, all right? There are things that have come out of my children that I ain't got science on. And I thought, I don't even know if NASA could figure what that was. But I'm just going to tell you, this is a passage of scripture that's going to help us to understand that if our God has power over these things and we could ask these things of God and it be done, then folks, we've got a great battle that rages in our lives, and we have a great God, and we can trust him with all things in this life. I want to pray before we begin to read and we preach the message today, and I pray that you'll pray and ask God to speak to you personally, that God would speak to you from his word today through the message. And I'm going to pray and ask God to help me today. Let's pray together. Dear God, I pray that you just be with us today. God, I ask again that you would just use me. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you would do what I cannot do. God, I pray that you would go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would draw men that need to be saved to Jesus Christ. I pray that you would use the scripture to penetrate the heart and heart, and to use the word of God to soften ground that needs to be grown up, and Lord, plant seed where it needs to be planted. God, I pray that you would do a work that I cannot do today. Holy Spirit of God, I pray, God, that you would use me as your messenger boy just to deliver the unsearchable riches that can be found in Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua chapter number 10, I want to tell you a little bit of the background before I begin reading, because of time's sake, I don't want to read the entire passage of Scripture, but Joshua has come into the promised land and he has already won the battle at Jericho. He has fought the battle at Ai, lost, figured out that there was sin in the camp, and then they went back and won a great victory. Now they come to a place where the Gibeonites said, listen, we know God is for you, and Gibeon makes peace with them, and they join in, and now all of the surrounding Amorites decide that, again, there were a lot of ites in this area of the Bible, and so all the Amorites in this area decide, five kings and five nations of people in this area gather together to fight against Gibeon because they believe that they may be able to overtake Israel or Gibeon, but they don't know if they can take both of them. And because Gibeon had made peace with God's people, they set out to kill all the Gibeonites and to destroy their city. We come to this place where now they're heading towards Gibeon. They're going to make war with them. And then the Gibeonites call themselves, they've surrendered. Really, they've made themselves servants unto God's people because they don't want to be in battle. They realize God is the one true God and they do not want to fight against him. So they made peace with Israel. And so they send a note to Joshua and say, hey, don't let them come kill us. Come up and save us. Come help us. Come throw in with us in this battle. We need the Lord behind us in this fight. And we're going to pick up in verse number 8. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have, look at this, delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Let me stop a moment and tell you that this reads much like chapter 1 and verse 8 and through 10 in the early part of the scripture, that he told him, if you follow me, if you believe me, you keep my commandments, not a man will be able to stand before you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to battle, I want God's promise that ain't nobody going to be able to fight and stand before me in the battle. Joshua's got that. It emboldens him. He believes God and he goes forward. Look at what it says in verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. They went all night to the battle. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And look at this. He said, chase them along the way that goeth to Bethron, and then smote them as Hezekiah. And then he says, and Mekeda. And so he says, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down in Beth Haran, he says that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. And they, look at this, died. They were there. He says, and they died. There were more that died with the, look at this, hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So the Bible just simply tells us that Joshua goes up all night to the battle. They get to the battle and they put the battle in array. And they were putting on a fight. And as they get there, God is already discomforted. You say, how does God discomfort? I don't know, whether it was with animals running through the camp and animals and all of nature fighting against them, but God discomforts them. And then Joshua and the children of Israel come upon them and begin to fight against them. And they are not only discomforted, but they're being slain. And then God says, listen, I'm going to get involved in it. I'm going to go further. God starts chunking hailstones from heaven down on these people as they fled from Israel, five nations of people who have come down under five kings, and God's throwing hailstones down, and they're just trying to get away. They're trying. God had told them to conquer the land. Listen, it would be good if we were in a battle instead of fighting it for 20 years and fooling around. Wouldn't it be good if we went and did business in one day? We're going to have a fight and we're not going to leave until somebody wins. And so they go up and they're in the fight. Hailstones are coming down and Joshua's there. Look at what the Bible says in verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. Okay, look at that. Who's he speaking to? Come on, help me, church. To the Lord. He says, in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of the Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Elion. And he says, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day, and there was no day like that before it or after it that, look at this, the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I want you to understand, this is, God says that there was no day that happened like this before, and there was no day after this. God was in, and it was his will that these peoples be defeated by the hand of Israel. Israel goes up to protect someone that has asked for help, and as they ascend all night to do battle, they get there and they fight. And listen, I don't know about you, but I think I'd be tired if I got there in the morning at the beginning of daylight and I fought all the day long and God was getting in it and we were winning and we had them on the run. They weren't standing and fighting because they knew they had already lost the battle. And God says, I'll get in on this. And he begins to chunk great hailstones from heaven down upon them. And in the midst of the battle, Joshua realizes what's about to happen. We ain't going to get them all. Some of them are going to get away from us, but it's a dark day. It's turning dark. You say, well, how do you know it's turning dark? Because he tells the sun to stand still in the sky. And he can see the moon. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you worked a whole day, as Pastor said, a day is what? 12 hours. It ain't 8 hours. I don't know where we got that from, all right? Working 8 hours is a whole day. It's 12 hours. There's 24 hours in a day. So if you only work 12 hours, you only worked half a day. Amen. That's landmark science right there. Anyway, so 12 hours as they're working and they're out there, but he's going into that overtime as they're on the battlefield, and he realizes that the sun is beginning to tick down. He can see the moon in the distance. It's beginning to come clear because the sun is not shining as bright as it once did earlier through the day. And he says, we don't have enough time to finish this battle. The darkness is going to come upon us before we can win this victory and have avenged ourselves upon these Amorites. And he stops. He doesn't command the sun, because the sun is just it was there for signs and seasons and things that God made it for. It warms us. It keeps us in a rotation. God set everything in order. But the one that controls the sun in our universe is Almighty God. And Joshua calls out to God, and what everybody else hears, but it says clearly in the scripture that Joshua speaks to the Lord. And he says, sun, stand thou still in the sky. And moon, you hold your position. Because he knew that if everything was going to hold fast where it was, you say, well, boy, I don't know about all the science. Because if it was going to sit still and the moon was going to stay still, that means the earth had to stop turning. Most of us realize that the world turns pretty fast. Now, I'm not talking about your soap opera that you watch on a normal basis about the world's turns. Pastor called it as the stomach turns, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the rotation of the earth. If you're at the equator, the Bible, again, this is talking about how God has this, but the science of it, can you imagine that the earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour? We don't feel it. It's like when Pastor goes 100 miles an hour in his car. When it's a smooth ride, it don't feel like you're going that fast, does it, preacher? Amen? You just, you know, you tell the police officers, look, I didn't know I was going that fast. This car really is smooth. Do they take that as an excuse? No. Amen? I'm just going to tell you what, but again, we don't feel it because it's every day. It's the way God set things in order. But you say, well, how would it be if we just stopped? We'd all realize a big jerk that happened. Listen, everybody knew that day. Whether it was that the earth came to a screeching halt and everybody fell down on the face of the earth, or whether they just realized that the sun stood still for an entire day. And it just stood in the sky as they continued the battle. Whatever it was a great miracle of God, and nobody flung off the earth into outer space. The battle continued. You say, well, if he slowed it down, listen, I'm going to tell you, God said, according to the scripture, that he hearkened unto the voice of Joshua. and that the sun stood still in the sky. That means the earth parked itself for a whole day because God said so. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, this natural world that has been made and we think everything is going to happen, this world is owned by Almighty God. And a man that was doing the will of God in the battle that he was fighting for God commandeered the very sun in the sky and said, "You will hold fast." Say, why did he do that? Because he knew darkness was coming. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, darkness is all around us. Darkness is in the place of the absence of light, and we are in the midst of missions conferences, not a mission message, but just let me tell you, there are dark places on planet Earth because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not being preached there. The word of God is not reached. It's not been translated into their language. And sometimes we sit around thinking that we have reached everybody, and we haven't. We've got no time to waste, and what we need to pray for is light. We don't need to pray that the sun, the Bible says there would be this day was not like any day before it, and there won't be another day after it. It won't do anybody any good for the sun or time to stand still in our age. The Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. We live in a dark day. Listen, he commandeered the sun because he knew darkness would come over and they would not be able to complete what God wanted them to do in the battle. He second of all commandeered the sun because they needed light for the battle. They needed to be able to see what they were doing. They needed to be able to clearly tell what they were going to do in this battle. And so the light was important. So they commandeered the sun. And then lastly, I want you to see number three today. He commandeered the sun because he wanted to completely win the battle. Do you know a lot of times we get satisfied with doing half things? I halfway did it. Listen, the Great Commission, and this is not a mission message, but I will go on and throw it in, and it's at no extra charge to you this morning. The Great Commission is not just seeing somebody saved, but being baptized and discipled so that they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not a one-time deal. That's not a one-stop by their door. That takes days and years and months of training to invest in the cause of Christ in someone else's life. Why don't missionaries just be like an evangelist and go into a country and tell everybody and then leave? Well, how are they going to be baptized? How are they going to have a church? How are they going to learn everything that you learned? Unless somebody goes and gives themselves and spends time with them and helps them raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the missionary needs our help. Why do they have these funds? Because many of them go to nations where they can't work. We had all kinds. I mean, Brother Wheeler talked about he went to Mexico. You know, our dollar is strong in Mexico. You can get a lot of pesos for the American dollar. But then we had Brother Magner, who's in Italy, and the dollar's weak there. He has to spend more time and raise more money because it costs more to have a house. It costs more to have a meal. It costs more to have a church. It costs more to do everything. It's not all equal around the world. We got to give because some people need more and some people can do more with the almighty dollar. But God Almighty, who is sovereign in this life, sends missionaries. And what are we supposed to do? Help them. Send the mission dollars. Pray for laborers to go around the world and get the gospel out. That didn't cost you nothing, but I'm going to tell you this. Joshua didn't want to see the job half done. He didn't want to just have a victory and have to take another and line up for another battle another day. He said, "Lord, I want to do it all today. Take care of it today. Do the work today. Hold the sun in the sky. Do a miracle for us. Show us that you're God." You don't think they already knew he was God? Listen, I'm going to tell you, if I was in a fight and all of my enemies are getting rocked with hailstones from heaven, I am going to say God is on our side. Amen. They're not falling on our side. They're falling on their side. God is in the midst of the battle. But I'm going to tell you, if you're winning, go on and take the field. Commandeer the sun from heaven. Listen, when you say, "What do you mean?" I said, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because there's so many things. The Christian, boy, we have salvation, but we won't commandeer the power of prayer that gets a hold and moves. That's what happens to Joshua. He doesn't reach up and grab the sun and hold it still, or grab the earth and stop it from rotating. He reaches up and prays to Almighty God, who already had a will, who sent him to end the battle and told him what to do. And he says, God, I need you to hold the sun still. I want to finish what you sent me to do. I don't want to pass it on to somebody else. I want to do it in my lifetime. I don't want to waste another day. Let me do it today. Say, preacher, why are you getting so excited? Because the cause of Christ, people are dying and going to a literal hell. They're going to die and spend eternity in darkness. Darkness is creeping in all this world because light is dimming. Christians aren't witnessing like they used to be. Do you know this book, Paul, I'm teaching in 2 Corinthians, and I can't wait to get to the part at the end of the chapter. He says, we're not like those in the end of chapter 2 who corrupt the scripture. But he's talking to them, not people who, listen, we are Bible believers in this place. But what he's speaking specifically of is that he calls them epistles. And the word of God is written inside of us. We don't like to hear it, and I'll just go on and preach it. I'm trying to help you today, not hurt you. But when you don't talk like a Christian, you don't walk like a Christian, you don't act like a Christian, you're not a very good epistle. And when we know the Bible and we know what to do, we ought to write on ourselves the word of God and be an epistle in print to all the world for them to say, I'm not talking about only lifestyle evangelism. I believe with everything that I am that you ought to look like a Christian and be different so that people can say, what's different about you? And you can say, let me tell you who changed me from the inside out. Let me tell you who came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid my sin debt. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5. The Bible says that there was no day before that and there won't be another day. So listen, I'm not preaching, church, that we ought to pray and ask God to stop the sun. We ought to pray that people would call upon the name of Jesus. We ought to pursue it with all that we are. We ought to pray and give and go like we talked about. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, I hope you're there. He says in verse number 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I told you, it's a battle. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. What could the world do? How many people would be reached if we had faith? We've seen what the world looked like when they got on the battlefield. They looked awesome and they had us outnumbered and they had all the people. But then all of a sudden, God says, not a man will stand before you. And though outnumbered, God starts to discomfort the field. God begins to act on their behalf and hailstones come from heaven and destroy. And then, so that there can be a complete battle, God acts and holds the sun in the sky at the request of the Christian. Do you know how many times we could see victory in our lives if we would just ask God to give us patience? God, listen, he ain't going to always hold the sun in the sky for every battle in your personal life, but God will help you through it. This book says he's the God of all comfort, that he loves you. And the overcomer is someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the victory over the world is our faith. Believing that God can, that he can help us. He goes on and says in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I want to ask you today, and I'm going to be short. I want you to just get this today. You as a personal believer, not the natural world, but as a Christian today, I want you to supernaturally commandeer the Son of God. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you ought to do just what it says. I read the thing to officially take possession. Because this is a spiritual battle. It says especially, something especially for military use. Listen, this is a battle. The devil is out to get everybody. He wants everybody to go to a devil's hell. He wants you to be cast into outer darkness. And I'm going to tell you the light that came from heaven and his name is Jesus Christ read on with me in the same chapter, but for time's sake, move down to verse number 10. He says that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us. What is that, church? What does it say? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He hath the Son, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What is that? That you may hope. You may guess. You may wish. That ye may know, the Bible says, that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Can I just tell you today, listen, can you imagine being on that battlefield that day, and Joshua in the midst of the battle, God told him not a man could stand before him. But what if the men won't stand before you? They get on the run. God was asked something of Joshua in his will, that he would win the battle. The battle was already won, but he wanted complete victory. And he called out to God. Listen, I remember the day in my life that I didn't commandeer the S-U-N like Joshua did. But I remember the day that I knew that the only way I was ever going to be saved and have victory was to take possession of what Jesus purchased for me on Calvary. To commandeer the very Son of God and take possession of the personal salvation that brings eternal life by taking possession of him. It's personal. Listen, it's already been paid for. He presents it and it's yours. In a battle, it would be like if you came across the tank, and the tank is the thing that would win the battle. It would take you from one side of this life to the other. Or maybe Old Testament ark, like Noah. The ark is just laying there and salvation is ready. All you got to do is get on and get in. And then all of a sudden it would carry you over to the other side. Can I just tell you, Jesus is the one that opened the door to heaven. Jesus is the one that died on Calvary. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is in the name of Jesus that we must trust. Commandeer the Son today. It's not a natural world. Listen, can I tell you that if you believe that God, listen, how many of us inside, you don't raise your hand, but say amen, if you believe the Bible's true and God stopped the sun in the sky. Amen. And in a group of Bible believers, then listen, that is a natural miracle that all of us trust in. Then why can't we trust God for supernatural things? There are people that believe that God did things because they can prove it in the natural world. There was a man that wrote a paper, and it's trying to be discounted, but he worked for NASA, and he calculated all the days out and put down that you could go back and count the exact days, and you could see that we're missing a day in the calendar. Now, there are people that are trying to tear that things to shred because they don't believe in God. Can I just tell you today, I didn't need somebody at NASA to tell me what the Bible already told me was true. I put it in my heart in faith. There are people that try to discount that Jesus can save. Those are people that always add works into it. If you're here today and you put works into it, listen, the victory is through Jesus Christ. It's through his finished work. It's not about you working. It's not about your baptism. It's not about you being a good Sunday school teacher. It is putting your... The Bible clearly told us that the victory is through faith. We put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Why did I commandeer the Son? Why do you need to commandeer the Son? Because there's darkness all around us in this battle. It's coming onto the field. I remember the day that I realized there was darkness coming. And I knew that the only light that could shine in me was through Jesus Christ. And I called out and commandeered the Son. You know why I got that light? Because I needed the light for this battle. I didn't leave here after I got saved. I'm still here in the midst of the battle. And I'm just, listen, the light of Jesus Christ that's in me shines forth when I tell other people about what he's done for me. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I tell you, everybody on the battlefield for Joshua was a representation of the Lord God trying to do his will that day. Boy, Christians ought to be that way. We ought to be on the field being a representation of Jesus Christ, trying to get the job done. But listen, God supernaturally, we had no power to do this on our own. God supernaturally made himself in the form of a man, came from heaven, died on Calvary, and rose again in victory. And faith, I put my faith in that finished work that Jesus did to have victory in my life. It was eternal victory. Can I just say this? In this battle, the victory was complete victory. Do you know that a lot of people, and I've said this before, they believe that Jesus saved us, but only up until the day we got saved. And then we have to keep his commandments, or we have to keep this. Listen, that's not salvation. That's not winning the battle. That's only winning part of the battle. Jesus came to save you from your sins, not just some of them, but all of them. He doesn't give you almost eternal life or half life. He gives you what? Eternal life. That can only be purchased by an eternal being. That can only be purchased by complete victory. I beg you today, listen, as a Christian, listen, we need to commandeer the Son. We need to call on him. You know, the verse that I read last, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Do you know there are people in this life, when they get in bad places, they go, if there's anybody up there, God, if you can hear me. The Christian ought to call out to God and know that they have an open line to heaven, that God has answered the phone. When my children are in the hospital and I need to go and ask him, listen, I want to call God and I want to know he's going to pick up. I want to be able to hear that heaven is on the other end of the line. Listen, Jesus came from heaven and died so that he could save your soul. He won the victory. Think about this. All you need to do is commandeer the victory. Take the thing that he has already purchased for you. The victory is right there, and it's right there. And you say, what am I commandeering? Well, Joshua commandeered the Son. He called on it to stand in one place. When I got saved, I prayed and asked Jesus. I told him I was sorry for my sin. And I said, God, I want you to give me the gift of eternal life that you promised me in the Word of God. I want you to save my never dying soul. I want to spend eternity with you. You say, preacher, is that what you got to pray? Something like that. You have to put your faith, your trust in the heart of your heart. You got to trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that today, then today I beg you to commandeer the Son. Call upon his name and be saved. If you're not sure how to do that, we can help you do that. We can take a Bible and show you that you must be born again. You can call upon the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. If you're a believer here today, if Joshua could call on the Son and have it stop in the sky, then what good thing would Jesus withhold from you in his will? Is there anything, is there any supply that you couldn't have in his will? Is there anything that he wouldn't give you to win the battle? Is there anything that you, listen, is there anything the Christian can't do in the will of God? No. Missions, it's mission impossible. We could never see the world saved. No, God would never have given us the mission if it was impossible. Whatever happened to the Christian believing in confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. As a church, he given us the great commission. We must set out to see it done. And I don't want to leave it to another generation because I'm not sure he's going to give us one more. I believe Jesus is coming again. We must do, listen, it's getting dark. We must work while it's still light. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning as a church, what does God want you to do in the area of missions? What does God want you to commandeer from the Son to act in missions? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you today, call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. Just as Joshua commandeered the Son, you can commandeer the very Son of God and receive him as your Savior and be saved. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you to make your way to the front. I'll be in the front. There'll be other ladies and men. We can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. We can do that through the very Word of God. You can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I ask you to do that this morning. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us now. If there's some that need to be saved, I pray that you would draw them, Spirit of God, to be saved. I pray, God, that Christians would use the message and realize that we need to be more bold in the area of prayer and asking God for the things that we need, the tools that we need from heaven to accomplish the Great Commission. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet today with me? If God has spoken to your heart, you need to be saved, or you need to come and talk to Him about missions or what He's doing in your life, the altar's open. You can step out and come as Brother Bert sings.